My name is Laurie Escher-Pines, and today I will be talking about displacement following disaster and incidents of injury. Hurricane Katrina provides the background of our study, and I know that people are familiar with Hurricane Katrina, but just to provide a little bit of background, Hurricane Katrina occurred in August 2005 and was one of the most costly disasters in U.S. history. It resulted in approximately 1,800 deaths and displaced over 1 million people. In general, there's a lot of focus on the injuries that occurred during the disaster itself, but many injuries, in fact, occurred during the recovery period of disasters. One study found that 79% of all Hurricane Andrew-related injuries occurred during recovery. Despite this fact, there's very limited post-event surveillance. In general, we only track outcomes for about 1 to 5 weeks after a disaster. And although there are many different types of injuries of interest, in this study we're particularly interested in hip fracture and its effect on older adults. And that's because of the clinical significance of hip fracture. Hip fracture often results in nursing home placement, in death, and in permanent disability. And as many as 16% of women will sustain a hip fracture in their lifetime. The literature is full of demographic and medical risk factors. But what we're more interested in are these environmental risk factors of fracture. For example, people living in institutions, apartments, or mobile homes are more likely to sustain a fracture than people living in single-family homes. Also, the longer you live in your home, you're protected. So these environmental hazards led us to hypothesize that displaced populations might be more likely to sustain fractures than non-displaced populations in the long term, and that's because they're in unfamiliar and inferior housing. To look at this hypothesis, we wanted to understand whether displaced victims are more likely to experience injuries than non-displaced victims in the aftermath of a disaster. The methods are fairly complicated, but I'll try to touch on them briefly here. Our participants included over 25,000 people in a Medicare managed care plan in New Orleans called People's Health. And we limited our sample to people over age 65 who were enrolled at the time of the storm and survived up to a year after the storm. Data sources included medical claims and enrollment data and FEMA damage shapefiles, which were used in GIS. The data went through the Johns Hopkins ECG CaseMix Mix System software, which is a risk adjustment software. The measures of interest, our key independent variable was displacement, and we defined location at 3 points in time, prior to Katrina, 6 months after Katrina, and then 12 months after Katrina. The dependent variables of interest were all different types of injury outcomes, more specifically hip fracture, other types of fracture, lacerations, and sprains and strains through the year following Katrina. And finally, our covariates included pre-Katrina risk status or morbidity status, race, gender, age, damage level, history of fracture, and socioeconomic status. First off, we geocoded over 66,000 unique addresses. And as I said before, we had location information at 3 points in time for each individual. Then we used t-test and chi-square test to compare baseline demographics between these two groups of displaced and non-displaced individuals. And then logistic regression techniques were applied to model injury outcomes. We ran the regressions in two ways. The first way was standard logistic regression, and the second way was propensity score adjusted regression. And propensity scores are a technique that's used to adjust for different baseline differences, and it allows us to attribute outcomes to our exposure of interest, i.e. displacement, rather than to differences in baseline covariates. So we needed propensity score methods in this case because there were some significant differences between the displaced and non-displaced groups. For example, displaced people were more likely to be African American. This is a map of the location of the study population prior to the storm. And as you can see, the population was mostly clustered around these four parishes, two very heavily affected parishes, Orleans and Jefferson. 12 months post-Katrina, roughly one-third of the cohort was displaced. And when I use that term, what I'm saying is they are away from their original domicile. So if their address changed, we define them as displaced. Most of the displaced people were still within the state of Louisiana, but they were actually moved to about 45 different states in the U.S. 12 months after Katrina, our sample sustained 186 hip fractures, over 1,000 non-hip fractures, 1,678 sprains and strains, and 980 lacerations. We found that there were many predictors of hip fracture, and these were confirmed by the wider literature, such as female sex, age, high-risk status or morbidity status, history of hip fracture, and white race. But more importantly, we did find that displacement was associated with increased risk of fracture. These are the results of our two models, and as you can see, the non-propensity-adjusted models and the propensity-adjusted models really indicated the same results, which led us to believe that these differences in baseline demographic variables weren't making a huge difference. Selection bias wasn't a huge issue. But what we see here is that there is an association between all different types of fracture and displacement. We found no association with sprains and strains or lacerations. The way we would interpret this is we believe that there's an association between fracture and displacement because of the inferior residences of the displaced persons. Also, they tended to lose health aids, such as walkers, glasses, all of these things that might contribute to fall risk. Also, when you are displaced, you might not have access to things in your home, you know, that you would have previously had, like grab bars and all sorts of modifications to deal with a disability. Finally, we saw no association of displacement with sprains and strains or lacerations, and we believe this to be the case because these are the types of injuries sustained during cleanup activities, and cleanup activities are more likely to be engaged in by non-displaced populations. In the case of Hurricane Katrina, the home city was very devastated, and we did see a displacement effect in our study. We feel that in other disasters where the home city is less devastated, there'd be more of a displacement effect or more of a difference between the experience of non-displaced and displaced persons. There are several limitations to the study. First of all, we used self-reported addresses to determine displacement status, which can affect accuracy. We don't know how up-to-date this is at all times. Another thing is we used a one-year history of fracture measure. The measure would have been enhanced by more years of data. Finally, claims data in general really tracks healthcare utilization rather than true morbidity. This is a problem when working with claims data, but in our case, hip fracture is not likely to be something that someone does not seek care for, so it's less of a problem in this context. And lastly, we had a relatively healthy cohort because we excluded those who died and those who were institutionalized. This really had to be done because of the issue of reverse causation. What we really wanted to look at was whether displacement causes injury as best as we could, not whether injury causes displacement. So if we kept institutionalized people who, it could have been the people sustained a hip fracture and then left their home as a result of disability. So that was an important way to avoid this issue of reverse causation. There's several policy recommendations to come out of this research. First of all, after an evacuation, emergency preparedness planners must weigh the risks of permanent displacement on health against the risks and costs of return. So an evacuation is indicated to remove people from immediate harm, but then there can be these long-term impacts, and it's important to look at that. Also, emergency preparedness planners should provide housing to displaced older adults that's screened for different types of environmental hazards, and they should reconsider the use of travel trailers. Right now, FEMA is investigating the link between high levels of formaldehyde and respiratory problems. The fact that travel trailers might increase your exposure to all sorts of different risks, like injury, means that it's just another reason that we should look at reconsidering housing policy following disasters. Another thing is that we should provide checklists to displaced older adults to help them assess personal and environmental risks of injury and to take preventive action. And lastly, we really need to conduct additional research on the adverse unintended consequences of ongoing displacement. This study and other studies indicate that displacement itself can be a disaster. Thank you. That's all for today.